I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Go and thank God today for being a Roman Catholic Christian. Today's a solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, and we know that through the Immaculate Conception, God preserved the Blessed Virgin Mary from original sin, kept her all pure, all holy, and has actually preserved her from actual sin. And the Blessed Virgin Mary is basically Exhibit A in the Church Triumphant. She possesses fully, from the very beginning, everything that we hope to possess one day in heaven. That is a glorified body, being full of grace, being without sin. Mary is Exhibit A of what God wants to make all of us in due time. Terry, I'm reporting for duty. What about you?
I'm reporting to duty, Jesse. And I say today's show is such a special day because of the Immaculate Conception. We're going to talk about those holy days of obligation in Canon Laws 1246. We'll talk about that today. Also, can't go without Father Ripperger. I'm learning so much from him. His spiritual warfare and communism. What is it, 40? I mean, he's got these videos. Yeah,
47 five-minute videos, yeah.
Oh, awesome. We're going to hear them all here.
I think we're on number six right now.
Awesome. But we're going to do that today. Also, we're going to take an article from our good friend Phil Lawler about COVID vaccines and fetal tissues and the moral dilemma. Also, we're going to talk about what happened to our good Bishop Joseph Strickland. And what happened to him? Did you hear? He was on the Bishop Strickland Hour on Virgin Most Powerful, and YouTube banned his video on LifeSite News because he said, "I will not take." He refused the vaccine, and YouTube said, "Nope, you can't do that." So this is what we're going to be talking about. Talk about persecution. Also, we're going to talk about some bishops who are coming out and speaking out against Joe Biden and saying he should not receive Holy Communion, which is refreshing, Jesse, because we got some bishops who say, oh, no, that's a political issue. No, it's not. It's pastoral. You don't give Holy Communion to someone who's objectively in mortal sin, last time I looked. But before we get to all of this, Jess, we've got the gospel, and we call it soul food. For today, we have special readings because of the feast. Could you share that, Jess?
Yeah, today's gospel is full of dogma and doctrine and theology.
Yep.
It's Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. And this is where we get so many of the four Marian dogmas. This is where we get much of it right here.
Yep.
The angel Gabriel, by the way, he's one of the three archangels revealed in the Bible for us as Christians, was sent from God to a town called Galilee, sent to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed. Betrothed means married, to be married. And in the Jewish culture, they lived a year apart before the husband actually built a house, found a house, and moved his wife in. But they were already legally married, according to the word betrothal. Betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. In other words, he was a descendant of King David from the line of Davidic kings. So Saint Joseph was royalty. And the virgin's name was Mary. The word Mary means in the Middle East, it means the beautiful one, the bountiful one. It means the perfect one. That's what the name means in the Middle East. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." That's where we get the first part of the prayer, the devotional prayer that we pray called the Hail Mary. It's right here from Luke 1:26 to 27. But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." No, here it is. You have found favor with God. In other words, she's God's favorite.
Exactly.
Okay? Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That verse is very powerful because it talks about Christ's kingdom, which starts with the Catholic Church, and it ends in heaven, and it says that Christ's kingdom will never end. Which is quite the opposite, because the devil also has a kingdom. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, the Bible tells us that the devil's kingdom has an expiration date. It's going to come to an end. So we got two kingdoms on earth. One is Christ's kingdom, starts with the Catholic Church in utero, and the other one is Satan's kingdom. Christ's kingdom, the Bible says in today's gospel, that it'll never end. It's going to last forever. And Satan's kingdom, we know based on Revelation chapter 20, it has an expiration date. We continue. But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" Notice the fathers of the church say that Mary, in her heart and in her mind, had vowed basically a life of perpetual virginity. By that phrase alone, it indicates that just like many other Jews, there was an entire community of Jews called the Essenes that would take perpetual vows of virginity. So that wasn't foreign to the Jewish lifestyle. It says, "And the angel said to her in reply, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" So notice, the entire Trinity is going to overshadow the Blessed Virgin Mary in a very powerful way, like no other human being on planet Earth. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have an interrelationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary unlike any other human being. And it says, "And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." By the way, this baby is called John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the forerunner or the precursor of Christ, much like Elijah in the Old Testament was the forerunner announcing to the pagans Yahweh. And it says, "And Mary, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold," and this is where Mary's power comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's her incredible humility unlike any other human being. Look at what she says. "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful.
The Blessed Virgin Mary's power didn't come from being a president, a vice president, nope, a governor, a senator, a king, a politician, a CEO. Her power came from being a mother and entering into a life of service to God, exercising the virtue of love, charity, and humility towards God and towards the Holy Family. Terry?
I just want to say one thing about Our Lady. It was God's design that Jesus Christ come through her. So common sense says, let's go right back to her to get to Jesus. There you go. Jess, I want to bring the smartest guy into the room. He's so smart. Full Sheen ahead. Tomorrow will mark the 41st year since Fulton Sheen had died. It was December 9th, 1979, and I thank God I was able to go to that funeral back then, and it changed my life. Here's what he has to say, Jesse. He's the master psychiatrist, okay?
Mm.
You know why? Because Fulton Sheen is Thomistic. He uses original sin, the basis. Here it comes on repression. "If there were ever any nonsense in the world, it is the notion that repression is always wrong." What do you hear with psychs? They always say, oh, yeah. So it assumes that nothing should ever be repressed. This is to forget that if you repress evil, good comes up. If you repress good, evil comes up. If you repress the idea that you're going to rob a bank, I hope honesty asserts itself, right? If a soldier represses the temptation, he ought to sleep while he's on guard. Duty asserts itself. The problem is not whether there will be repression or not. This is the cash value right here, Jess. It is rather what will be repressed, goodness or evil. That relates to our culture right now, Jess.
Yep, and again, the false solutions that you'll get from psychologists and psychiatrists
that are
secular,
yep,
that don't have original sin as the basis of their practice,
mm-hmm,
they'll say, no, repression is not good. You can't repress things and stuff because it'll affect you, in some other way.
Get out of here.
Or that's not true, Terry.
No.
As Catholics that believe in original sin,
that's right,
and we believe that there are certain things that must be repressed and suppressed,
yeah,
and that's those sinful thoughts,
exactly,
those sinful suggestions, the ordinary temptation of the diabolical, those things must be repressed and suppressed and given over to God to give us the strength to overcome them. Terry, in the Catholic Church, there's 6 holy days of obligation. Today's one of them.
Don't forget
to go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Today is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. She's the patroness of the Americas. And there's only 6 days in the Catholic Church throughout the year where Catholics, based on Canon 1246.2,
yep.
they're called holy days of obligation. They're solemnities. In other words, these feast days are so important that the Catholic Church says that we should thank God on this day by going to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and receiving the Holy Eucharist as a gesture of our gratitude and our thanks that God has made us Catholic Christians, that he's given us the gift of faith. And today's one of the 6 days where we celebrate something incredible, the Immaculate Conception, the patroness of the United States. Immaculate Conception, the Blessed Virgin Mary, pray for us. Terry?
Yeah, see, the others are just so they have the information. The Solemnity of the Ascension, August 15th, the Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. November 1st, the Solemnity of All Saints. December 8th, today, Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. And, of course, December 25th, the Solemnity of the Nativity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then just whenever January 1st, the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, or August 15th, the Solemnity of Assumption on or November 1st falls on a Saturday or on a Monday, the precept to attend Mass is abrogated. Now, I will just say this. I get to go to Mass every day. It's an honor and a privilege. It's good time management. I would encourage especially our retired folks that the Masses you hear in your lifetime will be your greatest consolation at the time of your death. Yes, that's what the saints tell us, Jess. Hey, brother, when we come back, Father Chad Ripperger is going to nail us again with a five-minute video on the spiritual warfare of communism, and I don't think any of us are going to want to miss that. So when we come back, Father Chad Ripperger on the issue of spiritual warfare and communism on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be back with more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We're back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We'd like you to hear a short little presentation by Father Chad Ripperger where he's talking about spiritual warfare and communism. He's showing the similarities in these small little presentations that he's made. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
One of the mechanisms that you actually see in relationship to diabolic influence is what's called diabolic obsession. And in diabolic obsession, the attack is greater than it is in temptation. It's much stronger, and it's very consistent. This should not be confused with psychological obsession, because there is a legitimate form of psychological obsession, which is essentially consistent with a set of bad mental habits. In which the habits have become so strong that the person loses a great deal of control over their own thought process. But demons can actually obsess people. And if you get the demons out of the person's hair, then the person can actually think clearly and not obsess about the particular things that the demons are trying to do it. But in the obsession, the demons are trying to control the thoughts of the individual by constantly putting images in the person's imagination, by it being constant. And also the emotional manipulation becomes constant, where there's this constant reminder of what he wants you to think about, how he wants you to look at it. And the goal is to gain greater and greater control over you. As many exorcists say, they usually start out with diabolic oppression, where they attack people from the outside so that the person starts just naturally obsessing about it. And then that opens the door, because we shouldn't be obsessing about these things. We should just have trust in God. And so that disordered obsessing about the thing then opens the door to the demons driving the obsession. And then eventually, as we the person's thinking patterns become so imbued with diabolic influence that they end up being suggested by the demons. The demons suggest something that the person does, which then is opens up the door to, once the person does it, opens up the door to possession. That's their goal, is possession. Okay, so there's this constant reminders. The battle is incessant. You can't seem to get away from it. Okay, communists do the same thing. Communists do this by the constant reminders in the news media, in various ways. There's things that you, everywhere you look, they're trying to put this in your mind. You see this right now in relationship to the riots, the protests. It's constantly in the news media. It is just literally constant. What's so ironic is that it's actually the news media and the communists that are actually obsessing about this stuff. But that all being said, they are putting this thing as constant reminders. So when you look at, for example, the images or video of communist countries, you will very often notice that they will have constant reminders in various locations all throughout the country about who's in charge. For example, in Nazi Germany, it was the swastika. Everywhere you looked, you practically saw it. Or you'd see the image of the leader. You see this in certain communist countries today, where everywhere you look, there's an image of the leader. It's constant reminder to you of who's in control. It's a constant reminder of that you are not independent of the government. They are going to be in control of you. You actually see this today in relationship to certain reminders, not just relationship to the riots and things like that, but you see it in relationship to COVID and the various things that they want you to do in relationship with COVID. It's constant. The media all have the exact same talking points. As I mentioned in the last video, you can watch 40 of them and they will all literally say the exact same thing, literally almost timed so perfectly together that you wonder how they actually are capable of even doing that. This is also in the news media, while you will hear the exact same stories from virtually all the outlets. The information that we really need to know, or the true information, is being hidden to us. And so this is how they actually control the sources of information. So just if you want to know whether you're being manipulated by communists or Marxists in some particular aspect of our country, simply look at something. If there is a constant reminder, if they're asking you to wear something, if they're asking you, because that's what they used to do with the people in the concentration camps, they had to wear certain things as a constant reminder to them. If they're asking you to constantly wear something or constantly do something or constantly think something, then you know that they are trying to manipulate you. The communists in that country are trying to manipulate you and to control you.
Wow.
You just listened to Father Chad Ripperger give his commentary on spiritual warfare and communism. Why is he doing this? I'll tell you why. Because he sees a lack of direction from people, from the generals in the Catholic Church. A lot of Catholics have a lot of questions right now. And as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, how can people act if the bugles are silent or the trumpets are silent? Father Ripperger and many other priests, Father Altman, they're seeing that apart from Bishop Strickland, basically the bugles are silent. The trumpets are silent. So he's trying to warn us that what we're up against right now is communism in the United States of America, plain and simple. And he's not pulling no punches. And because he's an exorcist, he's showing the connections that communism is a diabolical government. It's coming to a town near you and coming to a state near you, especially if Mr. Biden, steals the election. And what he's doing with these small little videos, he's making the connection between the way demons behave and the way communists also treat people. And again, if you hear these videos every single day as we're playing, we're going to play all 47 of them. They use exactly the same tactics to go after human beings. Who do demons go after? Human beings. Who do communists? They go after human beings. It's the same tactics, which demonstrates something that we've always known, that communism is a diabolical political system. Terry?
Well, one more thing that Father really is turning my light bulbs on, and that is tying it into the COVID-19 pandemic and showing how this is being used by the communists to try to take over America, because there's a lot of testing going on right now. Will you wear your mask? Will you, you're going to be locked down. We got to do all these things that we talked about yesterday, Jesse, are all indications that communists are utilizing the COVID-19 and making it sound like, let's test how far we can go along and with right. These people. One more comment that I will mention that's tied into Father Ripperger. All of the governors right now are coming out and talking about how we're going to deal with COVID-19. But there's one governor in South Dakota, Jesse, who's a Catholic woman, And she's telling people, take responsibility yourself. Don't the government's not going to tell you to put your mask on. The government's not going to put you in lockdown. You still need to go to work. You still need to get the kids to school. And I thought, this woman is really an obstacle to big government and also communism, because she's telling people, don't let big government tell you what to do. And I think that Father Ripperger's saying the same thing, and he's applying it with the spiritual warfare of communism and the devil. They work with the same set of rules.
Terry, and it reminds me of Joseph Goebbels, who was Adolf Hitler's propaganda.
Right.
You know, he was the Secretary of Propaganda, basically.
Yep.
He used to tell Adolf Hitler, he says, if you lie over and over again, it becomes the truth. It becomes reality.
Yep.
And this is what's happening, Terry, because like Father even says, he says, the media have the exact same talking points. You can watch 40 different mainstream medias and they will say the exact same thing. He says, this is why in the news media, you will hear all the same stories in virtually all the outlets almost at the same time. He goes, the information we need to know or the information that is true is being hidden from us. Father Ripperger, through these videos, is giving Catholics around the world basically pastoral direction. He's warning us right now what we're up against. Again, because the trumpets or the bugles are silent in most places in the country, if not the world. The generals, who are the bishops, those are the generals of the Catholic Church. Those trumpets are silent. So you have priests like him, you know, like Father Altman and many others.
Yep.
Aside from Bishop Strickland, he's a general whose trumpet is blowing.
Yeah.
But apart from him, Terry, as St. Paul says, the trumpets are silent. And when the trumpets are silent, the rank and file, we don't know what to do. So I thank God for Father Ripperger's constant little catechesis on what's going on right now, because he's reminding us right now, wake up, Catholics. What we have right now is the introduction of communism into America. Terry?
And remember what Father is saying, too, that the media, think about what I told you yesterday. If you hadn't heard this, there are six corporations that own 90% of the media today. That's a fact. 90% of the media is run by six corporations and 272 executives. That reaches 277 million people. I just say turn the media off. You start using alternative media and don't watch all your secular media, because it's just there to basically get you confused with what's really actually taking place. And also scaring people. That is a big concern. And that, you know what? The devil does that, Jesse. He makes you paranoid about life, thinking that, I'm going to die. I'm going to do this. The thing about it is COVID-19 has got people so scared that they'll do anything to avoid it, when 99.9% of the people who get COVID-19 survive. But that doesn't matter because of the fear monger. And I say that right now because the devil uses that same principle to get people to fall into sin.
Terry, and there's a lot of good books that have come out exposing the media for the propaganda that
Absolutely.
It is. You know, I'm thinking about Bernard Goldberg's book. It came out. It's called Rescuing America from the Media Elite.
Yes.
I'm thinking about his other book. He wrote Bias, a CBS Insider Exposes How the Media Distorts the News, by Bernard Goldberg.
Right.
This is the man that worked for CBS, Terry, for like 25 to 30 years. There's another good book on a Catholic point of view. It's from Teresa Tomeo from Ascension Press. It's called How Our Media Saturated Culture Dominates Lives and Dismantles Families. Ben Shapiro has also written a book on media bias as well. So we're well aware of it. Father Ripperger is scratching where we itch.
And, amen.
this is probably, Terry, this is probably why, you know, St. Padre Pio, this is why he refused. He never went to the movies and stuff. He never went to go watch a film.
That's right.
They asked him, why not? And he says, because the devil's inside. And as I look at the new catechism, paragraph 407, the catechism essentially says that the devil dominates mankind, and he uses, as one of the ways to dominate mankind, is not only not only politics, he says also the media.
I want to give some good news stories also. Archbishop Aquila backs a call for pro-abortion Catholic Joe Biden to be denied Holy Communion. Also, Archbishop Chaput, retired, speaks the truth. They're all concerned about the salvation of Joe Biden's soul and also scandal. So they're speaking up. And I love when a bishop speaks like this because I get to do a show every Tuesday with Bishop Strickland. And today, after our show, you're going to be listening to him speaking the truth with charity. When we come back, we'll talk more about COVID vaccines with a great article from Phil Lawler. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio, great article written by Philip Lawler. It's called COVID Vaccines and Fetal Tissues, The Moral Calculus. And this is a conversation that we're going to be having over and over again because this is where we're at right now. Right here on planet Earth, Terry.
Yep.
And so a lot of people want clarity on this. Here's what he says. Set aside for a moment the practical and medical questions about any COVID vaccine. Like, will it work? Will it be safe? Will it have serious side effects? Let me return to a question that I raised earlier, which was, should Catholics accept the vaccine that has been developed using fetal tissue from abortions? Since Catholic moralists have expressed contradictory answers to this question, let me try to offer a bit of clarity.
Mm.
First, not all vaccines are alike. Number one, some pharmaceutical companies have used fetal tissues in the production of their vaccines. Number two, other companies have used the fetal tissues to develop and test their products, but those tissue lines are not included in the actual vaccines. Number three, still other vaccines have been derived without any use of fetal tissues. So those would be that. Here's my comment. Those would be the ones that would be licit for a Catholic.
Yep.
Totally morally licit. The other ones have problems with them. Okay. He goes on to say, number one, among the vaccines closest to the American market today, the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson vaccines use the aborted fetal tissues in production. Number two, the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines do not include the fetal cells, but they were tested on fetal tissue lines. Number three, the Novavax, Sanofi, and Inovia vaccines were apparently developed and produced without any involvement of fetal tissues. All of the vaccines mentioned here are being developed with the help of the U.S. government funding. By the way, there's two websites where all this information can be accessed.
Exactly.
And they give it, they go into detail, into the minutiae. One of the websites is called the Charlotte Lozier Institute. The Charlotte Lozier Institute. And if you want to get the URL, just go on VMPR and click on the title of this article, or go to my website, jesseromero.com, and you can click on the URL that's in the article. It's called the Charlotte Lozier Institute. There's another institute that talks about the morality or immorality of these drugs, these vaccines. It's called Children of God for Life. Children of God for Life. So both of these websites that list the vaccines that are being developed, and they showed their connection, if any, with the use of fetal tissues. Terry?
I just want to mention the Children of God for Life. That's the one Bishop Strickland is referring to, where he's giving people the same advice that if there's one that they're not, if they're using aborted babies, obviously he's not going to do it. You shouldn't do it. And the reason I say this, Jess, in this article, Phil Lawler really lays it all out, but I wish more bishops were out like Bishop Strickland, who just tell it like it is, that we're not going to take this vaccine if it's tied into the killing of unborn babies. And I want to thank our listeners, because we couldn't have Bishop Strickland on the air every single Tuesday here at Virgin Most Powerful. It wasn't for you. So when you support us, You're supporting bishops like Bishop Strickland, who's coming out and saying things that YouTube says, you know, is offensive. They're going to take the videos down. They're paying a price. LifeSite News takes our shows every week and plays them on their website, and they got paid. I talked to a guy over at with John Henry Weston, and he's like, you know what, Terry? That's why we want him. We're willing to take it. We're going to continue to put the truth out. And I thank him for that, and he's picking it up from Virgin Most Powerful. So I, again, thank you, those who support Virgin Most Powerful. This wouldn't take place. Bishop Strickland didn't have a voice until he went on Virgin Most Powerful, and now we're, and other people are picking up our shows. So I just want to say I feel like I'm vindicated that we're doing something right when the media comes out and tags us, Jess. That's the point. But getting back to Phil Lawler.
I met Bishop Strickland for the second time this past Saturday.
Oh, good.
I was in his diocese.
Yeah.
I was in Tyler, Texas, speaking at a men's conference. He was there, so yeah. We met personally.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he just, I went to Holy Mass with him in the morning. Wow. What, I'm saying, what a blessing for anybody to live near the cathedral and go to Mass with that bishop. He did one of the most reverent Novus Ordo Masses I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And by the way, he also has been trained, also knows how to do the Latin Mass.
Extraordinary form, yep.
Yeah, the extraordinary form of the Mass.
Yep.
So, let's continue with the article from Philip Lawler.
He says, keep going.
From a Catholic moral perspective, the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson vaccines are clearly objectionable. To use them is to become involved in a causal chain that began with an abortion. Yep. To be sure, the abortions took place long ago, And it is an exaggeration to say that a dose of these vaccines will contain cells from those unborn babies. The cells in the vaccine are derived from the fetal cells. Still, the use of the vaccine entails cooperation in an abortion, which may have happened a long time ago. Because this cooperation is remote and unintentional, what moralists call passive material cooperation, many Catholic moralists argue that the use of such vaccines could be justified if there's a grave reason and no alternative is available. The Vatican has never made a definitive statement on this question, but in 2005, the Pontifical Academy for Life, in an extended answer to questions on childhood vaccinations, said that, quote, it is right to abstain from using these vaccines if it can be done without causing children and indirectly the population as a whole to undergo the significant risks to their health, close quote. And more recently, John Haas, the former president of the National Catholic Bioethics Center, accurately summarized the directives from Rome. He said, quote, the Vatican repeatedly stated that Catholics have an obligation to protest the use of these vaccines if for a grave reason they receive it, close quote. But notice the key phrase, for a grave reason. Unfortunately, the Catholic bishops of England and Wales have now pronounced that there is indeed a grave reason to take a COVID vaccine. But that judgment does not constitute a justification for taking any COVID vaccine. If one COVID vaccine is developed from fetal tissues and another from ethically acceptable materials, the moral obligation for a Catholic to avoid the former, that vaccine which came from fetal tissues, remains in place. The bishops of Alberta and the Northwest Territories have given more nuanced moral guidance, saying that it may be justifiable to take the tainted vaccines, but they add, quote, it remains imperative that Catholics make clear their moral objection to vaccine development derived from abortion and to advocate with their governments for ethically produced vaccines, close quote. If such ethically produced vaccines become available, they would clearly be preferred. Terry, here's my comment. If we get a Biden presidency,
oh, yeah, you know.
I think you can. He's going to care less about ethically produced vaccines.
Of course.
That's the problem. And I think under a Biden presidency and Harris, I think it's not going to be mandatory. It's not going to be optional. It's going to be mandatory. You can't fly. You can't go to the bank, etc.
That's right.
And they're going to be using unethical means to make these vaccines. That's my take.
My take on that, I agree with you, Jesse, and then that's why I think we have to stand up and say, not on my watch. Now, when Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, which do not include fetal tissue cells, but have been developed or tested with fetal tissues, the Moderna vaccine involves a particularly complicated sequence. It was developed using a spike protein. Now, this is technical stuff, but that has been produced by a different company using fetal cells. Moderna was not involved in the development of the spike cells, and the fetal tissues were not used in the development of Moderna vaccines. Still, both Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are connected, however loosely, to abortion that originally produced those cell lines. Jesse, let's talk about a joint statement from the U.S. bishops. They go ahead and explain what they came out with.
On November, the U.S. bishops' committees on doctrine and on pro-life affairs, they agreed that Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, quote, are not completely free from any connection to abortion, close quote. However, the bishops observed the connection is, quote, relatively remote, close quote. So they concluded, some are asserting that if a vaccine is connected in any way with tainted cell lines, then it is immoral to be vaccinated with them. This is an inaccurate portrayal of Catholic moral teaching. Here, it is important to remember that the bishops are addressing the morality of the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines and not the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson vaccines, which are more closely connected to abortion. In a case of grave need, remote material cooperation may be justified even in such cases. The 2005 Vatican statement reminds Catholics that they have other moral options. They should take recourse, if necessary, to the use of conscientious objection with regard to the use of vaccines produced by means of cell lines of aborted human fetal origin. Equally, they should oppose by all means, in writing, through various associations, mass media, the vaccines which do not yet have morally acceptable alternatives, creating pressure so that alternative vaccines are prepared, which are not connected with the abortion of a human fetus, and requesting rigorous legal control of the pharmaceutical industry producers, close quote. My take, if Joe Biden wins, he's going to try to force us to use these unethical vaccines by force, executive order. He's going to connect with a lot of big companies, the airlines industry.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have to win this at the Supreme Court because I don't see Joe Biden taking the Catholic position on this issue, Terry.
Well, he hasn't taken a Catholic position on any Catholic position. So you've got a track record with me, Jesse. You're spot on. When we come back, let's talk about today's feast day, the Immaculate Conception, and give a little apologetics on this. We'll be right back on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Immaculate Conception, pray for us. Terry, as Catholics, today's an incredible feast day. One of the four Marian dogmas is being, it's a solemnity today. And essentially, this is something that's always been taught by the Catholic Church. It was just promulgated by a pope at a given point in time, but it doesn't mean that that's when the church started believing this. This has always been part of the constant tradition of the church. And what is it? What is Mary's Immaculate Conception? December 8th, 1854, Pope Pius IX officially defined the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, but it's something that's always been believed based on tradition.
Right.
So here's what we believe. The Most Holy Virgin Mary was in the first moment of her conception by a unique gift of grace and privilege of Almighty God, and in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of mankind, presented free from all stain of original sin. Okay? There's three points to understand the dogma. So we believe that Mary, Our Lady, was preserved from original sin from the first moment of her existence. That means that she was never, even for a brief moment, stained by original sin. Second point, the Immaculate Conception only deals with original sin. However, the church does teach that the Blessed Virgin Mary was never touched by personal sin as well. And so, and the third thing we believe based on this dogma is that this privilege about Mary being born without sin was given to Our Lady in view of the merits of her son, Jesus Christ. And we admit that Jesus was Mary's Savior. But the Blessed Virgin Mary, we believe that she was redeemed by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just like all of us.
That's right.
But she was redeemed in a more perfect way. In other words, she was redeemed preveniently.
That's it.
It was the proactive redemption. So we just, all we do is we believe that the fruits of Christ's redemption on Calvary were applied to his mother to preserve her from contracting original sin, and it's applied to us as well after baptism. And so that's essentially the doctrine, Terry, unless you want to add something.
I just want to add a story that the Holy Father gave. It really made it clear to everybody. It really simplified it. He said, if you're going along a road and there's palm branches covering a big, huge hole, and that if you're going to continue to walk on that road, you're going to fall into the pit, won't you? But if somebody says, wait a minute, stop, I'm going to have you go around the pit so that you don't fall in, you were saved, weren't you? Well, that's the analogy the Holy Father gave about Mary being pre-redeemed. So when people come up to you and say, oh, no, Mary's got to have a Savior. Absolutely. His name is Jesus Christ. She was pre-redeemed. So that, I hope that little story the Holy Father gave about being saved on the path that will make it clear to you that Mary was pre-redeemed by her son, Jesus Christ. And I think that, Jesse, you know, when people ask, why do Catholics believe Mary was born without sin? I love going to Luke chapter 1, verse 28, when the angel Gabriel states...
Yeah, that was today's reading.
Today's exactly. Reading. So they're full of grace. And then people will say to you, Jesse, but Jess, how could Mary be sinless? Doesn't the Bible say all have sinned with Romans chapter 3? How many times have you had that ask you, Jesse? Come on.
Oh, yeah. But about the Mary full of grace...
Yeah.
Let's parse this out.
Oh, good.
Father Ripperger likes to say that word.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's parse this out.
Yeah.
When the angel Gabriel calls Mary full of grace, first of all, it was God that said that she was full of grace. The angel's just the messenger.
Exactly.
Okay? So it wasn't the angel that came up with this. It came from God through the angel.
Right.
And so full of grace, it's a Greek word, which is a perfect passive participle, mm-hmm. which means what? It's simple. It means that Mary was found to be full of grace from the moment of her conception. So she was found to be full of grace the moment that God conceived her in her mother's womb. And it's an ongoing status in the Greek, which means that it's something that never changes. So the moment that Mary had life, her soul was created.
That's right.
It was created. That's what the Greek word kekaritomene means. Kairos kakeritomene, it's a perfect passive participle, which is used very few times. This is a very
privilege.
Unique Greek expression.
Absolutely.
And it was relegated to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yep.
And it means that she was, it also means that it's an ongoing status that will never change. Now, Terry, you're right. Protestants will use the Romans 3:23. That's kind of a big hang up with them. They'll say, well, but it doesn't say Paul says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The problem with the Protestants in looking at that verse is they're taking the word all in an absolute sense as if it means, you know, every single person. The word all, it's used right there. There are exceptions. I can prove it to a Protestant. Because when St. Paul says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, there are exceptions there. Who's an exception? Jesus Christ. The Protestants would admit Jesus was born sinless. So there's one exception that Romans 3:23 didn't mention.
That's right.
Because it's using more hyperbole.
Yeah.
Also, who's another exception? Who wasn't born with original sin? Adam, Eve.
Exactly.
They were born, they fell into sin.
That's right.
But they were born immaculately conceived. They were. They were born without original sin. They also had immaculate conceptions. Adam and Eve. That's the tradition of the church. And so, there's three exceptions right there. Jesus, Adam, and Eve were not born with original sin. And so Romans 3:23 is not an absolute verse that basically says that everybody was born in sin. It would be like, for example, Terry, if I say, you know what, I'm going to have a party this Saturday, a birthday party. Heck, I'm going to invite everybody in Arizona, all the Catholics in Arizona, I'm going to invite, in Phoenix, I'm going to invite to my house.
Okay? Yeah.
So I make an exaggerated statement. Obviously, I'm not going to invite all the Catholics in Phoenix. It's impossible.
Absolutely.
Or when I lived in Sylmar, I'm going to invite all the Catholics at my parish over in Sylmar to this my party this Saturday. That's impossible.
Yeah.
But we use that, Terry. That's called hyperbole. We say, this guy's as tall as a ladder, this guy's as big as a house, et cetera.
Yeah. Jesse, just a quick note, too, on Romans chapter 3, verse 23, should be understood in that general sense. After all, Jesus, after all, babies and mentally ill people had not sinned. Therefore, all right. cannot mean every single person. That's just That's practically. Right. Right. And you know what, Jess? One more
thing.
They
will admit that. They'll admit that when you point that out. They'll say, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, common sense.
You're right.
Think
yeah.
about it. Yep, keep going.
Yeah, another thing that I would like to say is that I think another thing that shows the Immaculate Conception is Genesis 3:15.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
I think that's pretty clear. where God the Father tells Satan,
yeah.
who's taken the form of a serpent, he says, God the Father says, I will put enmity, that means total separation, between you, that's the serpent,
yeah.
that's the devil, and the woman. What woman? Mary. He's prophetically speaking about Our Lady, the mother of the Messiah, prophetically in the future.
Yeah.
And God the Father says, and between your offspring, Satan has offspring. Satan has children.
That's right.
Absolutely. And it says, and hers. So this woman, the mother of the Messiah, has an offspring. Who's the offspring? It's Jesus. Then it says in the more modern Bibles, it'll say he, pronoun Jesus, will strike at your head. How did he strike at the head? When he died for our sins on Calvary, the cross crushed the plans of Satan to take all of us to hell. Where it says, so he will strike at your head. It was the cross of Christ, and it was planted on Calvary that crushed Satan and his plans. And then it says, while you strike at his heel. How does the devil strike at Jesus's heel? How? He strikes at his heel when he goes after us, the mystical body of Christ. Now, older Catholic Bibles like the Douay Rheims, the Latin Vulgate, will say, she shall strike at your head while you strike at her heel. And so the older Catholic Bibles, that's why you see a lot of Catholic statuary with Our Lady stepping on a snake. Why? Because it comes from the Latin Vulgate, the Douay Rheims. Now, when you go to the rabbis, what do the rabbis, obviously, the Jewish scripture is written in Hebrew, and the rabbis at the time of Christ and even the rabbis in the Middle Ages that have did exegesis on Genesis 3:15, they will say that the translation in the Hebrew is, she shall crush your head while you strike at his heel. So the rabbis would basically side. They'll say that the exegesis of the older Catholic Bibles, the Latin Vulgate and the Douay Rheims, is the correct interpretation of that verb.
Jesse, I just want to add one more thing. Yesterday you talked about your friend who died of a heart attack at age 52, and his kids were present with his wife at the death of him. Just yesterday afternoon, our good neighbor across the street from the chapel died in her sleep of a heart attack. And the day before she died, I was with her, and she was kind of upset because someone had stole some things out of her garage. And I said, remember, life is short, eternity is forever. All that's going to come out in the wash. And then not knowing that within hours of that night, she died of a heart attack, and she, you know, had her judgment. So I think of that, and it really touched me, and I pray for her. We were here at the chapel. We prayed for her this morning. But, you know, she was only 54 years old. Jesse, she was younger Whoa. Than you, brother.
Whoa.
Yeah. And she's the one we got our bell tower from here at the chapel. Her dad got the bell from a church that burnt down in Mexico. So we're going to honor her. We're going to pray for her, the repose of her soul. But the fact that I was able to chat with her just hours before she died about life being short and eternity is forever, it really made me realize how short life is. And just, this happens every single day. Nobody gets out alive last time I looked.
That's right, Terry. Time waits for no man. We're babies, we're
yeah.
children, we're teenagers, young adults, we're men, we're old men, and
exactly.
then we die.
That's it.
Time waits for no one. And if you want to get a gut check, every second of the day, 1.8 human beings
yep.
die. That's almost two. Every second, tick, tick, tick. And where do we go? We go before the throne of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we will go to our particular judgment. And having said that, Terry, I'm telling you,
a lot of
Catholic men in politics who are old men, they're in their 70s and 80s, Catholic men and women, they're inches away from their judgment. And I hope people like Biden, Pelosi, many others, I hope they repent before they have this exit interview with Jesus, because they're going to have no influence on Jesus based on being a senator or a vice president or anything else. Either you die in a state of grace or you die in a state of mortal sin. At the end of time, there's only two teams, winners and losers.
And that's why I appreciate Archbishop Aquila from Denver, Colorado, calling for pro-abortion Catholic Joe Biden not to actually be denied Holy Communion, because he loves him enough for him not to have a sacrilege by going to Holy Communion when you're not in union with the church. And also, former Archbishop of Philadelphia, Archbishop Chaput, just telling people you're not in union. That's charity, Jesse, when you tell somebody to repent and believe in the gospel. Jess, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. We're called to be grace saints. Don't miss the opportunity. And remember, St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear our prayers. Terry.
I want to thank everybody for supporting us. Up next, Bishop Joseph Strickland, the most outspoken bishop in America, here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You won't be disappointed. God love you.